John Batson with Professor Andy Clark. His new book is The Experience Machine, How Our Minds Predict and Shape Reality. Andy's a professor of cognitive philosophy at the University of Sussex in the United Kingdom. First, autism, overweight experiences. This is all fresh to me, Andy, that autism is not withdrawing from the world. It's overweighting information at the same time. Are you projecting on that information the way I did? Does it work in the same fashion?
Yeah. Thanks for having me on the show. So one of the applications of the predictive processing, or sometimes called active inference theory, for autism spectrum condition, is that a good way to think about it, and indeed a way that seems to stand up to some clinical tests, is as turning up the dial on sensory information over prediction. So the core picture in the book is that experience always takes shape at the sort of meeting point between what your brain expects and what the signal from the world is giving you. If you turn the dial up too far on expectation, you get hallucination. But suppose you turn the dial up much further on sensory information, what do you get then? Then it looks like you might get a lot of the characteristics of autism spectrum condition. That's to say, it's harder to bring that very high-powered sensory signal under the categories that you have. So it will be sometimes hard to detect faint patterns in the world. And of course, people's facial sort of facial gestures that kind of show how they're thinking about your mental state right now. These are very faint patterns. So if you're taking the sensory information super seriously, which is a picture here, then you'll find it harder to detect patterns like that. You might also find very noisy, sensory noisy situations to be uncomfortable or unpleasant, because the brain is kind of trying to take all the rich detail of the sensory information very, very seriously. And, you know, that's kind of hard work. We make life easy for ourselves by damping a lot of the sensory information down using patterns that we expect. So there's a sort of picture there where autism spectrum condition mostly involves up in the value of incoming sensory information. And this is kind of different to those sort of older accounts that say, oh, it involves a problem with mentalizing about other people or any of these things. It's not on this picture. It's not like that. It's a different weighting of sensory information against prediction, and one that, particularly in the world we've constructed, that's to say neurotypicals have constructed, can sometimes be troublesome. Can also be very helpful in some situations, allowing you to pick out bits of sensory information that other people are missing.
PTSD, 30% you report struggle with it, 60 to 70% do not, but the PTSD is, again, the prediction machine comes up against events that are more vivid than ever and can be triggered by others by overweighting certain senses. Do I say that correctly?
Yes, I think so. So the experiments that I was looking at mostly in the section on that in the book are ones where they had a bunch of war veterans who had differing levels of kind of symptoms of PTSD. Some had very few symptoms, if any. Others had very severe PTSD. And they wanted to try to find out what was the difference between the people that got severe PTSD and the people that didn't, because they'd been exposed to the same situations, basically. That was a setup. And what they found then, using a little experiment where people were, they were trained on an association between different faces and the absence or presence of a mild electric shock. They got used to certain associations, and then suddenly the experimenters changed those associations so that a previously friendly face now led to a shock. What they found is that in the people that were suffering from PTSD, there was a very, very, very strong response to unexpected negative information, whereas in the others, there was not such a strong response to the unexpected negative information. So it's as if some predictive brains are more likely to respond strongly to unexpected negatives than others. And they are the brains, they're the people who seem most susceptible to PTSD. There are, of course, you know, cause correlation, direction of causation issues here that the experimenters also tried to address.
And depression, does that have a similar difficulty? Disordering, I think, is the way you use it. Disorder of perception and prediction.
Yeah, I mean, depression is such a complicated case and comes in so many forms. There's a lot going on. But a couple of the things that I think we can pull out of predictive processing accounts of depression are that bodily, inward-looking bodily prediction may be playing a much bigger role than we previously thought. So the idea there is that these ideas are due to Professor Lisa Feldman Barrett. So the idea there is that we're doing something all the time like budgeting our own future energy use. We're predicting our own future energy use, and that makes a difference to how we behave in the world. Now, suppose that those predictions were going wrong. You were, as it were, anticipating more energy use or less energy use in ways that don't actually track what's going on in your body. In that case, you might suffer from sort of sudden bouts of tiredness punctuated by unexpected bouts of enthusiasm, because it's as if tiredness and lack of exploration is sort of conserving energy, and then enthusiasm and exploration is using energy. So if you get the energy budgets wrong, you'll begin to get that sort of that profile. The other element I want to throw in here that I think is at least equally important.
We have about 30 seconds, Professor.
Oh, okay. Is sort of lowering the value of positive information. So turn down the dial on positive information, and then you can't even improve how you feel by improving what you expect.
The book is The Experience Machine, How Our Minds Predict and Shape Reality. Professor Andy Clark of Cognitive Philosophy at the University of Sussex is the author. We're going to turn to the mind-body story, the mind-body picture that we inherit from classical learning, and ask if it's helpful or not. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.